doubly blessed now because we have a very special guest. Well, some would say the host, because it is because of him that this place exists today, and it would not exist otherwise. I'll invite Mohan Prabhu to introduce.
Hare Krishna, Swami here. He is the disciple of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder, Acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And he came in 1987 to Hungary, the first, under the communist area, and he started the whole community here. So he established Krishna Valley, he established all the other centers all over Hungary, he established our university in Budapest, Bhaktivedanta College, and he was also the part of the membership of the European Religious Leaders Committee, and he represents all the Hindu population of Europe in that committee. And he wrote 30 books, he's a teacher of Vaishnavism all over the world, and we're very happy that he's here, and we can hear from him about spiritual life. So,
thank you very much. We've got enough sitting space for everybody. Dhanavir Adidas Seka. Oh yeah, we have an extra chair there. Dhanavir Adidas Hosdidas Seka. Oh, Namazek Pad. Yo, Namba Ashitamitsik. Okay. First come, first serve. Hare Krishna. Thank you. I'm sort of trying to stand a little in the light, and this is the arrangements that we have here. So welcome to New Vrajadam. I think quite a few of you were already at deity greeting, and you saw Radha Shyama Sundar, who are in charge, and the presiding deities, not just of Krishna Valley, which is the other name for New Vrajadam, but also of the Hungary. Not Hungarian Yatra, but all of Hungary. Just like Radha Landanishwara is in charge of London, and Radha Gokulananda is in charge of the rest of the United Kingdom. So Radha Shyama Sundar is in charge of Hungary. And today I'd like to give a presentation, because I know that you have sort of mixed association and interaction, I mean in terms of qualitative and quantitative way, with Krishna consciousness movement. So I'd like to present something that's really quite basic. And for those of you who are regular practitioners of Krishna consciousness, some of this will already be ABC. And for others, I hope it'll be ABC in an instructive way. And want to really start with, this was a presentation I did at Ernest Young for the, that was for the Hindu, I think it was for the Hindu,
network
there. And about finding what our purpose in life is, or what our purpose is. We should be living in a purposeful way. If we're not, then we're really in trouble. And unfortunately, in the world that we live in, most people are in trouble because they're not really quite clear why they're doing things. They're quite clear as to why other people want them to do things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what they want to do. But sometimes it takes later on in life to find that out. It took me about 20 years, I was 20 years old, when I finally found out that what I was doing wasn't what I wanted to be doing. And it wasn't my purpose in life. It may have been my parents' purpose in life, but it wasn't my purpose. And when my parents discovered that my purpose was to become a Hare Krishna priest, then that really rubbed them the wrong way. But anyway, that's what I ended up becoming, which was really a far cry from the direction I was going, which was to be an engineer. So here I am, Hare Krishna. And but the purpose, we do things because there's a reason for it. And the purpose is a particular goal. And before we get into what Krishna consciousness talks about in terms of purpose, there are other people who have different opinions or different points of view. And opinions are one thing, and unfortunately everybody's got opinions in the world today. Not only have they got opinions, but everyone's on the internet and voicing their opinions, sometimes in very absolutist terms, when actually what they have to say is really quite relative, and relatively relative, and very often relatively useless. But some other so-called wise people, well, here we talk about someone who's really supposed to be wise, the Buddha. And please note that this Buddha is a different Buddha than we refer to in the Krishna consciousness movement as an incarnation of Krishna. This is a Saktasinha Buddha who appeared 2,500 years ago, who's really nothing to do with the original Buddhism, that Krishna, for the purpose of bringing people on the path of ahimsa, introduced. But he said, I'm just looking whether it's clear enough, that fine looks a little blurry to me. And, okay, well this is, your purpose in life is to find your purpose and give your whole heart and soul to it. I mean, I guess you could make a million out of marketing this, but it still means absolutely nothing. Your purpose in life is to find your purpose. This is really just getting out of giving a real answer. And there are others. Here's another one, Nietzsche, and German philosopher. He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. Now, mind you, this is all, if you Google these, this is all under the purpose of life. And this is what they say is a purpose. Not really quite an answer. Maybe has a little more substance than the previous one, that your purpose in life is to have a purpose in life. He who has a why, all right, why I'm living, can bear almost any how. Hare Krishna, actually. Does this bother you, this fuzziness? Otherwise I can move this over, but it's okay. Okay. And here, surprisingly, from an American, we get something that has a little sense. The purpose of life is not to be happy. It's to be useful, to be honorable. By the way, my accent is not American, it's Canadian. To be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference, that you have lived and lived well. All right, so here we've got something here that makes the purpose of life is not to be happy. Okay, that's what it's not. It's to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate. These are some substantive, qualitative traits. By the way, we have nothing against Americans. Srila Prabhupada really considered that it was the Americans to whom he owed the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, even in India. Even up until Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, the only devotees in India were Americans. In fact, right up until sort of the end of the 80s, it was all Westerners who were managing and spreading Krishna consciousness in India. And then there started a real tsunami of Indians who were joining. Srila Prabhupada would have really loved to see that. So it makes some difference that you have lived and lived well. So we're getting something here, but it's really not quite definitive. Emerson, at least, is actually giving substance, but we're not getting a clear answer. What does it mean? What does it mean, actually, the purpose of life, that we actually have a purpose for existing? And I went to dictionary to look up what the definition of a purpose is. And something very good. The reason for which something is done, created, or exists. And this is a very, very sutric, which means very short, and quite a clear explanation. What is a purpose? So purpose is, why is something done? Why is something created? Or why does something exist? I just sort of switched the words around here to function perhaps in a little more of a chronological way. Why is something created? Because, first of all, there has to be a source for things, and then it exists, and then once it's created and exists, then it can do something. So the reason for which something is created and exists is done. And here, in terms of what we're talking about, the something is us. So we're talking about our purpose. What is the reason why we are created, we exist, and what is it that we're supposed to be doing? So the purpose in life. Let's start at the very beginning. Why are we created? I don't know. It may not be bothering you, but it bothers me. I don't like fuzzy things. let me just pull this gently, and as it comes over, oh, that's as far as I can. No, I'll make do with this. It's actually that, but if I touch that, something, there's a short, and we'll have to start over again. We'll function like this. I'll have to tolerate it. All right. Purpose of life, reason for which we are created. And so now, here the question comes, are we actually created? And I'm just going to put this all to you. Who says that we're created? Okay, and who says that we're not created? Okay, but there's a lot of people here. There's only two alternatives here.
Larry's those are the ones who miss breakfast, I think.
You've got to be either created or not created. One of the two. There's like no real third alternatives. But actually, to really give an answer as to whether we're created or not created, you really need to start with a primary premise. And I hope this is not too academic, but you're all educated people. What is the premise that you require when we're talking about are we created or not created?
Human body. Human body.
A little more specific.
Soul.
There's a creator.
That's one thing, thank you. Another one. We're right now we're first honing in on a prerequisite to answer this question, and that prerequisite is that we need to know who we are. So when we're talking about are we created or not, well, who are we talking about?
Spiritual being.
Huh?
We being a spiritual being.
Spiritual being, human body. So we need to answer this question, and we need to be clear also about what we mean about spiritual being. But you just gave away half of my whole presentation. Okay, so we need to actually talk about what this we means, because the purpose, we're talking about the purpose of life, right? So the reason for which we are created, exist, and act or do. So to know this, whether we're created or not, we examine who we are. And let's start with that examination. We have, you had mentioned earlier, we have one thing, and that is called a body. Everyone has a body. Our bodies may be different in size, they may be different in gender, they may, they all look different, and they have different abilities, but we all have bodies. And there are other living entities who don't have bodies. They're called ghosts. They also exist, but they don't have a gross body such as us. And aside from a body, what else do we have? Someone?
Mind.
Just call it out.
A mind.
Mind. Okay, we have a mind, and he read what was the next slide. So, yes, aside from a body, we also have a mind. And Now, this doesn't necessarily apply to everybody, but it does apply to everybody here. And we also have intelligence. So we have body, we have a mind and intelligence, and I'm not going to get into sort of analyzing the nature of these, but they're in different levels of subtlety. So in the Gita, Krishna says, Indriyani pranayahur indriya paramana manasasto puro buddhe yo buddhe parasastusa. He gives a hierarchy of subtleness. He says, first there's the gross body. Above the body, there's the subtle mind. And even more subtle than the mind is the intelligence. And they serve different functions. Are these what we are? In other words, are we the body? Are we the mind? Are we the intelligence? And okay, let's take another vote. Yes. Who says yes? Are we one of these things, combination of these things? No one. We're not. So you're saying yes.
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, you're saying we're not.
Oh, no.
Okay, and those who say no? Okay, great. You're all going forward. But on what basis do we say that we're not these things?
Because we can observe each of those things. We can stand back and observe each of those things. So we can't be it, because we can be the object and the subject.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. I'll come back to that later. But you're getting there. You can come back and observe. And so I'm raising the point here of what it is that you observe about these things.
Changes.
That we observe that all of these things change. Mm-hmm. But you also observe something else. Isn't it? When we're talking about we're not this body, whatever it is, that thing, that it's the sort of elephant in the room that we all know what we are, what the next slide is. But do we change?
The body changes, but not the soul itself?
Correct. So the soul isn't changing. In other words, we're not changing, and you're observing that. We're aware of the fact. In other words, the subject and the object are connected by the fact that we are aware of the fact that we don't change. So, everyone already answered that question. So, but here, if our body, mind, and intelligence is always changing, what is it about us that doesn't change? Okay, someone already said the
soul.
Now, what is that soul? It's a little louder.
I don't know whether you would say it's an entity.
You're not an entity?
I don't know the description for a soul. I couldn't tell you what it's.
Go ahead.
Like a spark of the divine.
Yeah, it's an entity, definitely. Otherwise, if we're not entities, we have serious existential problems. So, because entity means that we're alive, but it's we, because we're looking about what there is, it's that we that isn't changing. We're not changing. We observe our body change, because everyone was very, very young at some point, and we're all getting on in different stages. Our mind certainly changes. We think differently. Our intelligence, as we learn things, as we gain experience and wisdom, our intelligence changes. But there's something about us that doesn't change. You can experience that it doesn't change because we're the same person. Everything that's visible that changes, and that's something you want to add something?
Would it be our consciousness or our energy that doesn't change?
We use the word soul. That something is definitely, and let's just, since you use the word conscious, that identity, our identity, who we are, is conscious, because we're conscious of change, we're conscious of our bodies, we're conscious of You know, you're conscious of seeing me. You're conscious of your senses. Just listen. Listen to the sound. You're conscious of the sound. You're conscious of what you're seeing. You're aware of what you're seeing. And you're conscious that you're sitting. You're also conscious that you just got a little tired from having a meal and you traveled all day yesterday. We're conscious of a lot of things. And we're also conscious of the fact that we're conscious. So object and subject are actually connected. So it's this seat of consciousness that isn't changing. And that's who we are. And that is what we mean when we talk about soul, or in Sanskrit we're using the word atma. That it's the atma that doesn't change. And then we can get into a very deep analysis of what the soul is all about. But that's not what our presentation is. Our presentation is, what's the purpose of life? And we had a definition in which the purpose was the reason for something is created, exists, and functions. So now the purpose of life starts with purpose for which we are created, existence, and functions. So we crossed out the first one, is that we're not created. We're eternal. Because despite the fact that all of this change goes on, the consequence of the fact that we're not changing in this body, two things are implied. One of them is that we actually existed before this body, which we call before this life, and we will continue to exist after this life. That means that the consciousness is eternal. This is the first teaching that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. He uses a process of logic that's called analogy. And he says, Dehinosminjata dehe komara jovara jara tata dehantara praptir diras tataran muyati. Ooh, I just noticed when you moved here that there's actually, here's another free chair if anyone's uncomfortable. Krishna says, just as we transmigrate from boyhood to youth to old age, similarly, at the time of death, we take another body. So it is similarly, tata, means similarly. So this is a principle of logic that if things are equal to the same thing, they're equal to each other. So if you see that there is change of body, and death is another word for change of body. Our child's body is dead. It's gone. And you can ask biologists, anyone a biologist here? But biologists, biochemists, that every cell within our body changes after a 7-year period of time. They die off and reproduce and new cells are there. So materially speaking, every body that we have is different. And death just means that I'm taking another material body, but material bodies we're already gone through. If I'm 70 years old, and next year I will be, that means I'll have had 10 different bodies by that time. So the consequence is, in answer to that question, are we created or not, is that no, we're not created. And if you're not created, then that means we're eternal. We're existing in the present. And he says, diras tataranam muyati, and in the future we'll continue to exist. So in fact, even prior to that verse, the first thing Krishna says, natu eham, natu jatam, natam neme, janaditpa, he says, me, you, all these kings, never was there a time when I did not exist. We did not exist. We exist at the present, and we will continue to exist in the future. So we're all eternal, which reduces our definition, because there's no issue now for the purpose in which something is created. There is a purpose for which we have a eternal existence, but we'll get to that. But the purpose of life now is the reason for which we exist and act. And I just put the exist back here and asking sort of a silly question. I hope we're agreed on the fact that we do exist. Because the purpose for which we exist. Sometimes some people will say, no, actually, we don't exist. And you will get certain very esoteric believers who say that, but if I don't exist, or at least if they don't exist, I prefer not to spend my time talking to someone who doesn't exist. But if we exist, then we have to go back to our original purpose. Well, why? The purpose, why do we exist? And of course, there has to be, there's a reason, and the reason needs to be connected with who we are. So we said we're the consciousness, the seat of consciousness. We use the word Atma. So it raises a question that as the soul itself is eternal, the reason for the soul's existence also has to be eternal. It has to have a connected, synonymous reason. So what is the inseparable nature? Well, we just go back here. What was the reason? Why do we exist? What is it that... Oops, I'm going the wrong way. Yes, fine. And because we have a nature, we have an eternal nature, something that you can't separate from the soul. And this is something that you've all heard about, and I'll just go on to this next slide. It's because our Dharma. Dharma is something that's inseparable from the nature of our very being. It's inseparable from our Atma. It's something that's inseparable from our soul. But what is that Dharma? Or even more specifically, what is Dharma itself? And everyone here knows the word Dharma. Now, I like to hear a few definitions of what you think Dharma is. Someone?
Right conduct. Right conduct.
Right conduct. Okay, that's one. One correct. But there's a deeper meaning to what it is. You wanted to say?
Lawfulness.
Right conduct?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay, that's a sort of a...
as in you're serving a higher purpose, like you're trying to uphold goodness, like, you know, the greater good.